나의 푸시바반도 치트로 샹도 타모노도 반데 난다 브라제스트리남 파드레 노마 빕시나샤 자샹 하리카토 기탕 푸나티 부바나트라양 니켈라 부바나마야 치나비체나 카트리 비불라 바훌라 묵티 므릭야 모한타 다트리 시틸리타 비디라가 라디라 데샤다니 빌라사투르 디니트양 박티시단타 바니. So I'm very fortunate to be here this evening with all of you in the wonderful Sri Chaitanya Sarasvat Seva Ashram. And things are always coming to help us. And we're so many times seeing the environment as our enemy. Really, the environment is our friend. And with the arrival of Srila Gurudev in about 17 days here, that so much activity is happening, that we hear hammers going upstairs, which obviously don't disturb any of us because those are the sounds of service and preparation for Srila Gurudev's arrival to accommodate guests nicely and in the mood of Vaishnavism. And all around the ashram, we see so many people doing so many amazing things in their service, in unimaginable things, actually. To see Uma building a cement wall outside. I never could have conceived that such a thing would be possible. And so many things, and so many people working so hard. And when you see these things happening, then you remember the Srila Gurudev, and you remember how fond he is of this Sokel Seva Ashram. Now, from the first day, from the first time he saw it, I was fortunate to be with his divine grace at that time. We were under the influence of the illusory energy, many of us, and we decided on buying a property in Felton, which we thought was much nicer. And we actually, papers were signed and everything, and at that stage of a transaction in real estate, there's never any turning back. But somehow or other, by divine arrangement, it can only be by divine arrangement, the sellers change their mind. Never happens. Right? They could be subject to lawsuits and so many things. They could actually lose their property because of that. But after they sign their paper, they change their mind. But when we took Srila Gurudev to see that house that so many of us were very enthusiastic about, right, he really didn't like it at all. And then we said, what should we do? He said, okay, let's take him to see that other place on Rodeo Gulch Road. And we drove up the driveway. It was like June of 1993. And Srila Gurudev said to me, don't even bother stopping the car. Just buy this place. So, of course, we did stop the car. And we did get out. And we did look around at some things. And we bought this place, right, under Gurudev's direct order. And Gurudev actually picked it out. And for years and years and years, he said, so many ashrams I've had, but I always wanted a hill. And really, when he comes out on his porch and looks out at that beautiful hill, and last time he was here, like 3 years ago, inconceivably, so many times he rode his scooter to the top of that hill. And he told us to make a little platform up there, which we haven't done yet, which maybe we should do in the next few weeks before he comes back. And he liked so much that hill. And he liked so much this ashram. And Gurudev can't be everywhere at once. He can, but he doesn't use that type of potency because the Vaishnavas aren't like that. Yogis, they practice yoga for some potency. Right? The mystic cities. But the Vaishnavas, they don't serve Krishna for anything in return. And even though some of that power is offered to them, they don't use it. They have no use for it. They're not trying to dazzle anybody with any power. They're only interested in love and affectionate dealing. So, Srila Gurudev chooses to be everywhere by computer. He's a modern guru. You would never think it, but he's a modern guru. And he sees all of us every day on his computer. And wherever he is in the world, right, his laptop is set up, and in his screensaver is a series of his favorite pictures. Right? And one after another, he looks at those pictures every day. And then sometimes, of course, he selects his various things, an iPhoto, and watches slideshows of the recent things that devotees have sent him, right, web pages. And Gurudev always says, I have this very nice computer, but I don't know how to use it. It's not true, actually. He knows how to use it. And through that medium, right, he sees all of the devotees from all over the world every day. And he's enlivened by that. You know, it's inconceivable for us. He can be enlivened by seeing us. But he's enlivened to see that. To see the activities of the devotees all over the world. Right, to see their faces. And he's very enlivened because he's a non-envious soul. And because he's not envious, he sees everything so beautifully. Everything. Right? In his arati song, we sing every day. This Paramahansa Dharma Gyan Shikar Pachari. Right? That his ashrams are established all over the world for this training. Paramahansa Dharma. Right? We won't have turbans and titles and things like that. Yeah, but Paramahansa Dharma, right? We'll see good everywhere. That's the training of our guru. Don't see negativity. Don't focus your attention on negativity. Right? See the good. There is good everywhere. Right? Param Guru Maharaj said, every wave is favorable. The environment is your friend. Right? We're always seeing the environment as our enemy. Yesterday in San Jose in a class, one young student asked, what about protesting? That's your individual choice. But our guru told us, don't try to change the environment. It's a waste of time. You can't change the environment. And even if you can, how long will it last? What good will that change do? You're all going to go in a few years. Then if we're protesting for this side, in a few years we'll be born on the other side. But we don't know where we're going to be born, on what side, or anywhere. Chris Rock says in one of his things, whoever you hate is going to wind up in your house. So we're not protesting. We're not protesters. We're not callous, cold-hearted, you know, blind to injustice or the evils of the world. But our philosophy says that bhujyane vatma kritang vipakam, whatever difficulty I am facing, it's my fault. It's not the government's fault. You know, it's not the neighbor's fault. Not the city of Santa Cruz. Not the Capitola police. You know, not the price of gas. It's not the environment. It's not pollution. It's not any of these things. It's my fault. Whatever problems I'm facing in my life, it's my fault. It's nobody else's fault. So who can I protest against? Myself. So that's what a Vaishnavism means. Protest against yourself. Check yourself and change yourself. Al Gurudev declared last year that my religion is to find fault with myself. I want to write that on some form. Recently, unfortunately, we had the sad instance of checking Srila Gurudev into the hospital in Bangkok, and for one night observation, some problems he was having with his health. And on the form, that question is always there: what is your religion? And find fault with myself. That is my religion. Right? To see all of the wrong around me in myself, that it's my fault. If I'm suffering, right, if there's some hardship happening to me in my life, right, the question, why is this happening to me? Right, and some people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Because they deserve it. We're not callous. We don't like to see people suffer. We don't like to see anybody suffer. And a real Vaishnav, I'm only a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a servant of a Vaishnav. But a real Vaishnav, they can't tolerate to see any suffering. Their very nature is paradukaduki. A very famous Sanskrit shloka composed by Raghunath Das Goswami to honor Sanatana Goswami. He wrote that phrase, and it's been used prolifically ever since. Vairagya jug bhakti, asang prayat nai, apayang mang and abhikshalandang, kripambudhi jas paraduka duki. This is the Vaishnava. Kripambudhi jas paraduka duki. Vaishnava is an ocean of compassion. And paraduka duki, the only misery, the only unhappiness for a Vaishnava is to see the unhappiness of others. But when we have unhappiness, we have to see it's my fault. If I'm suffering, surely it's my fault. And my life is so sinful, it's easy for me to see that. But still I forget that principle. So many terrible things I did in my youth, especially. My adult life was a little bit more controlled. I had already joined the Krishna Conscious Movement. By no means any type of perfect practitioner or anything. But especially in my youth, so many heinous deeds, one after another, from practically the time I was old enough to do them. And so if any suffering comes in my life, can I think of somebody else's fault? Somebody else's fault I'm suffering? This is the first lesson of Vaishnavism. It's my own fault. And if you can go on with some enthusiasm, with that mood, then you get spirituality. That's all you have to do. You have to continue. See, take responsibility for your own deeds. Now, just like in the correctional institutions, I don't know why they call them that, but that's the original conception. Right, that you'll be corrected. So Vaishnavism is a correctional institution. But it's not inflicted upon us. Right? It's a very affectionate correction. And that's why it works. But it's correction through affection. Sounds like Malcolm X, but it's not. So correction through affection. Right? Our affectionate guardians are trying to correct us. And trying to instill in us the proper vision. It's not some hocus pocus, not some imaginary thing, not some artificial imposition on the mind. But it is my fault. Can't be anybody else's fault. Because the system is perfect. And I'm always thinking the government's imperfect, no doubt. You know, the city government, this, that, everything is imperfect. But the universal system is not imperfect. It's perfect. Now you can open up an almanac and see what time the sun's going to rise 10 years from now. And exactly at that moment, the sun's going to rise. Because the universal system is perfect. And so our ancestors wrote very proudly, right? One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It was, you know, not true, unfortunately. And justice, we don't have to fight for, we don't have to worry about, because the universal justice is perfect. It's already there, established and proven scientifically. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And Sir Isaac Newton proved that scientifically. So the universal system of justice is perfect. Nothing happens to you that you don't deserve. So if you can see that, then go on down the spiritual path and maintain your enthusiasm, you get the whole package. Right? You get the full spiritual blessings. You get everything. Tattenu kampang susamikshamano bhujyane vatma kritang vipakam. And not only that, but then you'll see that behind that justice, there is mercy. That there's something more than that. There's a higher principle. There's a sweeter principle besides justice. Justice is very rigid. You know, what you get, you deserve. You deserve this much, you get this much. You don't deserve it, you don't get it. That's justice. But when you get less on the negative side than you deserve, and more on the positive side than you deserve, that's called mercy, compassion. So, tattenu kampang susamikshamano. Not only will I see that every negative thing I get Not only do I deserve, but I deserve much worse than that. That in just for some remembrance, just a reminder, a token punishment is left for me. That's why I don't become bewildered and infatuated with the material existence. If there are no token punishments left for me, right, then how I will see the nature of this world? Then I'll think I'm the enjoyer, right? The very thing that got me here in the first place. Right? The very thing that needs to be corrected. And my criminal mentality, I'm the enjoyer. And when I see things, right, how do I look at the environment? I'm supposed to be a spiritualist. How do I look at the environment? Not just wearing some clothes or having a particular name, but how do I look at the environment? When I look out at the world, what do I see? Right, when I drive down the road, how am I viewing things? Is this the property of Krishna? The Ishvara Parama? Satchidananda Vigraha? The Sarvakarana Karanam? The cause of all causes? He created everything. This his property. Am I remembering that? Or when I look out at the world, and last night I was remembering Param Guru Maharaj was going to some rally for the Congress party. He wasn't protesting. Right? Our Param Guru Maharaj, Om Vishnu Pad, Srila Bhakti Raka, Kshira Dev Goswami Maharaj, and His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, very bright students of the day, right, in the 1920 in India. They were leading students at that time, very bright, energetic young men, part of Gandhi's Congress party, right, to get free from British tyranny. They were protesting. They gave up their educational degrees in protest. So many things they were protesting. But when they met their guru, then all protesting stopped. Then they only canvassed for Mahaprabhu after that. So while Param Guru Maharaj was going to a rally at Calcutta University, and he said he was going down a hill and he saw some sadhu. And he asked that sadhu in broken Hindi, he said, "Oh, sadhuji, have you seen God?" Is Ramananda here? He could tell us how it sounds in broken Hindi. So he asked that sadhu, you know, "Have you seen God?" And he said, and that sadhu answered me in a very excited way, "Can't you see him? Don't you see him all around you?" And then Param Guru Maharaj said, his remark changed my vision of the world forever. And that sadhu was not in the Gaudiya mission. We know that because Param Guru Maharaj would not have asked him in broken Hindi. If he was a Gaudiya Vaishnav, he would have spoke to him in Bengali. So he was not even in the Gaudiya mission. Param Guru Maharaj didn't have any prejudice against him, but he asked him that question. And his answer, Param Guru Maharaj said, changed my vision of the world forever. So that's what's required of us, right? A change of heart, change of vision. It means a change of heart. We can't do it an artificial way. We'll get some glasses, 3D glasses or something. You know, and we'll look through and it says, everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. But we have to change our heart. We have to change our motive. One of the first books I got when I spoke with the devotees was a chapter of the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was called Pure Devotional Service, A Change of Heart. That's what we need. That's what our practicing life is about. Everything we do is meant for that. Sava Bidhi Nishedashu Eta Yorva Kinkarai. Smartavya Satatang Vishnu Bishmartavya Najatuchit. We should always remember Krishna and never forget him. Sava Bidhi Nishedashu. Every rule and prohibition is meant only for that purpose. Every rule and prohibition that is subservient to that principle, only for that. Right? Whatever we will follow, whatever we will avoid, whatever positive things we'll accept, only for that purpose. Right? To have that change of heart, to have that change of vision. And everywhere we look, we'll remember our sweet Lord. George Harrison sang that song very beautifully, that my sweet Lord. It's a sweet conception. And Param Guru Maharaj said, search for Sri Krishna, reality of the beautiful. It's not a harsh reality, not a punishing reality, vengeful reality, a judicial reality. It's reality of the beautiful. Sri Krishna is reality of the beautiful. And when we can adjust our inner self, so everywhere we cast our glance, we'll get some remembrance of him. So as neophyte practitioners, when we're in a better environment, right, the strong sadhus, they can go anywhere, in any environment. And we started this evening by singing that song, Nitai Pada Kamala. When Srila Gurudev was here last time, he was explaining, Nityananda Prabhu, if you see him with a girl and a bottle of wine, you know he's preaching. And that's the quality of Nityananda Prabhu. And if you see him with a girl and a bottle of wine, right, he's preaching. So we're not Nityananda Prabhu. Don't try to imitate that. If you see me with a girl and a bottle of wine, you know I'm not preaching. For sure. 100% guaranteed. So, as neophyte practitioners, then we have to be more careful about our environment and more careful about our circumstances. And things are more dangerous for us. And we're not trying to shun the world or avoid the world, but we're realistic, right? So when we're in an environment where all devotees are there, we're calling everybody by some name in relationship to Krishna consciousness. Everything we eat comes from the hand of a Vaishnava called prasadam. And then our existence becomes purified in a much faster way, in a much more potent way. And many of us at our young age, we're very fortunate to join in the mission of Krishna consciousness and live at our youthful years like that. That we're in that type of environment, that we're surcharged with spirituality. And everything that we got was prasadam. Right? And Uddhava, Krishna's best friend, told him that I'll conquer your illusory energy simply by taking your remnants. Tava maya jayemahi. And I'll cross over, I'll conquer your illusory energy by accepting only your remnants. So when we're neophyte practitioners and we're in that particular environment where everything we see, everything we touch has some direct connection. Everything has some connection with Krishna. But when we're younger, right, more or less developed in our practice, then we're in that type of environment where everything has that direct connection with Krishna consciousness. Then it becomes something tangible for us. And as we gain strength, naturally we can, like our Gurudev, he can be in any environment. It doesn't matter to him. Nothing can shake him. He's passed through all of the other stages. Oh, we can think that more realistically, he never went through them. Right? Because he came here for a particular purpose. Purpose of rescuing us. But I didn't come here for that purpose. I came for my own polluted purpose. And so I'm trying to be rectified, trying to experience that change of heart in a beautiful way, in an affectionate way. And it's a very beautiful thing. Krishna consciousness is a very beautiful thing. That the ultimate expression and explanation of Krishna consciousness we find in Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. If we read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there we'll find Krishna consciousness is only about beauty and sweetness and ecstasy. It's not about anything else. There's nothing else involved in Krishna consciousness besides those things, if you're actually Krishna conscious. So Mahaprabhu and his associates, they're all Krishna conscious. And so they're not worrying about this or that. Of course, Mahaprabhu is maintaining what's called marjada. Marjada means prestige. Right? So Mahaprabhu maintains the prestige of Varnashram Dharma. Mahaprabhu maintains the prestige of the Sannyas Ashram. So many things externally. And Mahaprabhu doesn't discount anything. And that's an important lesson for us as well. Now, we have no direct connection, really, with those things. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to give Daiva Varnashram, right, the transcendental system, direct Krishna consciousness. We don't want to pass through, you know, the four varnas and the four ashrams and then have some connection with spirituality. But we have a direct connection, right, through the merciful dispensation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as was conceived by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and executed by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But we don't disrespect things. That everything we will deal with respectfully. Everything. Even the things that we have no interest or connection with. Like so many Vedic rituals, right? If you read the Vedas, so many thousands and thousands and thousands of things you will find in the Vedas. We're not interested in those things. But really, as practitioners of Krishna consciousness, we're not interested in any of them. We're not interested in astrology. We're not interested in Ayurveda. Right? Our guru doesn't give classes on these things. He doesn't give classes on astrology. He doesn't give classes on Ayurveda. He doesn't give classes on Vedic rituals, marriage ceremonies, purificatory processes, all types of, you know, mantra, tantra. And he knows all of those things. This was his culture. He was born into that. He's born into that type of culture. But he left that all behind. And as his guru, Dave, did, after he joined in the mission of his guru, Dave, after that he only canvassed for Mahaprabhu. Before that, he may have had so many affiliations as well. He studied astrology, he studied this, he studied many things. But after he joined with his Gurudev, not only did he forget all those other things, but many, many deeper things, right, his Gurudev asked him to forget. Please forget all the songs of Radha Krishna Leela. Because our Gurudev was exposed to those from his birth, from the time in the womb, he was exposed to them. So when he joined in the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, then Param Guru Maharaj asked him, please forget all of that. Can you do that? And Gurudev said, yes, I can do it. And Gurudev recently said, maybe we're in Thailand, he said, by Guru Maharaj's mercy, actually I forgot. Although it's impossible to forget, by Guru Maharaj's mercy, I forgot those things. And so if he had to forget the songs of Radha Krishna Leela, then how many things do we have to forget? If we don't forget them artificially, right? We don't go get shock treatments and try to remove that stuff from our memory banks, injections, and chemicals, and so many things. But we try to absorb ourselves in the positive things. And the more we absorb ourselves in the positive things, then the less time we'll spend on the negative things. Not in an artificial way. Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada said, is not an artificial imposition on the mind. And it's not an external show. Right? What do we feel ourselves? Not what we try to pretend we feel or what we try to show to others that we feel. But inside myself, what do I feel? What do I see? How do I perceive the environment? We have to be introspective. And honest. And the meaning of sadhu is honest. Right? The sadhu is an honest person. Too honest. But kindly honest. And affectionately honest. Always finding some way to invite us deeper, invite us deeper. The affectionate invitation is always coming from the sadhu. Because that is their nature, that their hearts are so filled with goodness and compassion. Tatikshava, Karunika, Surida, Saradehinam. In the Bhagavad Purana, you find a description of a sadhu. Tatikshava, a very tolerant person. You can't make spiritual progress without tolerance. And our Gurudev is teaching us that every day. Every day, be tolerant, be tolerant, be tolerant. Wait and see. Right? Some of us have some particular nature that We like to instantly react to things. Madam Gurudev is always advising us, wait and see, wait and see, wait and see. That was his Guru Maharaj's advice. Wait and see, right on his wall. Sahasa, vidyadipta na kriyam. Don't instantly react. Be tolerant. Check yourself. Don't instantly react to things. Even when Gurudev is asked a question, we see his mood. A simple question. If you're sitting next to him, of course, you have to check yourself also. I almost want to like say the answer. But fortunately, you don't. But then Gurudev considers something deeply, even what we consider to be a simple question, before he will answer it. And then sometimes, just to teach us something, he asks us, what is your opinion of the answer first? And previously, when I was younger, I would make the mistake of giving that opinion. Now I don't. Now when Srila Gurudev asked me that question, I told him I don't have any opinion on that subject. Or sometimes even when I think of the answer in my mind, right, then I hear, you can't stop thinking, but when I hear Srila Gurudev's explanation and how he captured the whole realm of the questions, right, not just the point in the middle, but the entire thing, what was in front of it, what was behind it. But so tolerance is very important. The sadhu is tolerant to Tikshava. There could not be a mission of Krishna consciousness if the sadhu was not a tolerant person. That the mission would be closed down. And if I was in charge, for sure it would be closed down. And that's why I'm not in charge.
Thank God.
And so, because the sadhu's tolerant. He tolerates so much. If you associate with Srila Gurudev and you sit with him, you will see in 1 hour how much he tolerates. Inconceivable thing. He tolerates. And Karunika, why so tolerant? Because they're so kind and compassionate. And if you're that kind and compassionate, you can be tolerant. You can't be tolerant artificially. Why would you be tolerant? It's like some kung fu exercise that, you know, you keep slapping your face. Then when, you know, you slap your face, it doesn't hurt anymore. You get callous face. So, you know, we'll tolerate. Someone will come in and do something stupid. We'll tolerate. And we'll hire people. Come in and bother me in like 5 minutes. Okay, come back in 2 minutes. Come back in 1 minute. Okay, now I'm tolerant. But the Vaishnavas aren't tolerant like that. But they're tolerant because they're kind-hearted and compassionate. And Surida Sava Dehina. Right? They feel that way towards every living entity. And Sanskrit is a very beautiful language. And there are many, many words for friend. One word for friend is surit. And surit means somebody whose heart is so filled with good feelings towards you. That type of friend is called surit. So the Vaishnava is suridang sarvadehinam or sarvabhutanam. Same meaning. Right? Every living entity. And sometimes we see people you don't like, they come before Gurudev and say, come on, Gurudev, blast them or something. But Gurudev is equally friendly to them as he is to you, as he is to everybody. Because that is the nature of his heart. Suridang savadehinam. No judgment. And justice is already running very perfectly. But in a transcendental exchange, there's no judgment. Like in Christianity, it says, judge not, lest ye be judged. So the Vaishnavas, the saints, they don't judge anyone. And not on the first day, not on the second day, not on the 10,000th day, not on any day are you judged. And most of the bad things that you do, you could say, not most, all of the bad things you do, all of the mistakes you make, they're overlooked. Right? And any good thing you've done, that's captured by the Vaishnava. Suridang savadehinam. Their heart is so filled with good feelings for you and for me that they can do that. They can overlook every mistake we've made, every negative thing we've done and only see the good. That's the result of spirituality. If you meet a saint, you'll feel it. Because they have those types of qualities. They have that type of heart. They have that type of vision. And they sacrifice. When we're with Srila Gurudev, we see how much he sacrifices. Sometimes it's too painful for us. Not for him, but for us. It's too painful sometimes to see how much he's willing to undergo to help us spiritually. Anything, he doesn't care. All the things he hates, that he personally doesn't like. We know Gurudev, he was raised homeopathy, right? His whole life, he was dealing with homeopathy. He likes homeopathic medicine. Now, every day, he takes like 15 allopathic medicines, all kinds of things, injections, every nasty thing. Why? So he can travel around the world at a very old age, right, in very ill health, and help us. Not for himself. One saintly person was traveling in India many years ago. Once upon a time. And then the people always ask a saintly person for some blessings. That's what this saintly person was traveling. He met various types of people. The first type of person he met was a prince. So the prince asked him, "Oh Sadhuji, please give me your blessing." And the saint said, "Rajaputra Chiranjiva." "Oh, prince, I hope you live a very, very long time because you've done so many sinful things in your life. You've taken so much for your princely enjoyment from the environment that when you die, you have to pay back so much. It's better you live a long time." And then the next person he met was a little brahmachari boy, a little sadhu boy. And that saintly boy asked him, "Oh, Sadhuji, please give me your blessings." And he said, "Muni putra majiva." "Oh, you saintly boy, better if you die immediately. Right? Because of your life, you're doing so much tapasya, so much austerity, and only for spiritual purposes. So better you die now and go to Vaikuntha and enjoy all that." Then he met a butcher. And the butcher said, "Oh, Sadhuji, give me your blessings." And he said, "Jiva va maroba," to the butcher, "don't live and don't die." Because your life is so horrible and your afterlife will be so horrible. So don't live and don't die. And then when he met another saint like himself, and that saint also very humbly asked him, "Oh, Sadhuji, please give me your blessing." He said, "Sarva jiva va maroba." And for a saintly person, you're living or you're dying. It's the same. Not like the butcher, right? It's both is horrible. But for a saint, it doesn't make any difference at all. You're not subjected to birth and death. On that level of consciousness, there is no birth and death. That the saint is living in the spiritual world, whether he's standing here or standing in the spiritual world, it doesn't matter. By consciousness, he's in the spiritual plane. Brahma Samhita says, "Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santak sadeva hridayeshu vilokayanti." Right? The sadhus, whose hearts are melted with that love, that they're seeing the beautiful form of Shyama Sundara always. Means they're in the spiritual world. You can't see Shyama Sundara in Santa Cruz. Well, you can see Giridhari, of course. But even then, how much vision do you have? How much consciousness do you have? And sometimes when I would go to India, Srila Gurudev would ask me, "Are the deities happy?" "I don't know, Srila Gurudev, you tell me." "Are the deities happy?" "I have no way of knowing. They don't talk to me. They don't tell me anything." So at that level of consciousness, living and dying, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference to Srila Gurudev what he does. Right? If he leaves this world, his next destination, especially for him, is very wonderful because he wants to be with his Guru Maharaj. And so he doesn't matter. He'd be very happy to go and be with his Guru Maharaj. But for us, right, he stays. And subjects himself to so many things, painful things, and so much discomfort for us. And so we'll get some benefit, just like when we saw today so many activities going on here for the arrival of Gurudev. He's not going to come here to enjoy life. He's not going to go surfing or anything. Take any, you know, scenic tours of California. I'm going to come here and stay in this ashram and nourish all the people who have some spiritual hope. Every person who has some spiritual hope, that Gurudev will nourish them. And if they want some spiritual hope, even if you don't have any, but if you just want some, or you just happen to be lucky and come here while he's here, you will be nourished by him. So he's coming for that reason. And for that reason, we're all extremely happy. And I had the good fortune of being with his divine grace for a few months, up until about 10 days ago, with his divine grace in Thailand, in Russia, and in Italy. And I'll leave in a few days and go to Mexico and come back a few days before his divine grace arrives. And for my benefit, not for anything else. I wish it was some noble cause. But Mahaprabhu gave that advice. Janma sartha kori karupar upakar. So first make your life perfect, then help others. Right? If you're dying, you're drowning like in a plane. Right? If you're riding a plane and they always announce right before the plane takes off, should there be a sudden loss of air pressure, whatever it's called, but air pressure in the cabin, right? Oxygen mask will automatically fall down. Put yours on first and then help your children or anybody else that's traveling with you. Right? So save yourself first. Of course, my joke was, should there be a sudden loss of cabin pressure, put Gurudev's mask on first. Because Yamuna was saying when they flew from Bangkok to St. Petersburg, I wasn't on the same flight. I was on a different airline. But they had no announcements or anything. There were no safety. It was a Russian airline. There was no safety announcements. There was no safety video. So, should there be a sudden loss of cabin pressure, put Gurudev's mask on first. Now, but the airline people even tell you, right? Put your own mask on first. And so, Mahaprabhu also says that, Janma sartha kori. Take care of yourself. Like, get something genuinely spiritual in your life. And that doesn't mean you have to be perfect before you can do any missionary activities. Under the blessings of the Vaishnav, as our service to him, we can help. We have to recognize our own position. So I'm interested in my own spiritual progress. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say that. And for that reason, I'm going to Mexico to see His Divine Grace. And I'll be here when His Divine Grace is here. And hopefully I'll go to India after He leaves here and be some more with His Divine Grace. And feel that nourishment, right? It's his word. Never hardly used that word in my life, but Srila Gurudev likes that word very much, nourishment. And that's what he's giving to the living entities. Anybody who comes in contact with him without discrimination. Right? Gurudev doesn't discriminate. Oh, this person's this level, this person's that level, this person's this person. Nothing. Gurudev has no such discrimination. It never discriminates, anything like that. Who is my God brother? Who is my disciple? Who's this? Gurudev doesn't make any types of discrimination like that. Right? He gives equally to everyone, nourishes every living entity. Suridam, sarvabhutanam, and ajata shatrava. Gurudev has no enemies. That's in the plane of duality. Oh, if somebody helps me in my plan to be in the center, they're my friend. If somebody helps me to my own plan of enjoyment in life, that person is my friend. And somebody interferes with that, that person is my enemy. And so Sadhu has no personal plan. Now he's only canvassing for Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu is extremely kind and merciful. And Nityananda Prabhu, we sang Nittai Padakamala. Nityananda Prabhu is more merciful. Right? So Nityananda Prabhu says, Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga Naam, Jai Jan Gauranga Bhaja, Say Amar Pran. Anybody who takes the name of Gauranga, anybody who worships my Gauranga, anybody who talks about my Gauranga, that person becomes my life and soul. Then we have to think, how does Mahaprabhu feel if we talk about Nityananda Prabhu? Right? How does Mahaprabhu feel if we worship Nityananda Prabhu? And how does Mahaprabhu feel if we take the name of Nityananda Prabhu? And Mahaprabhu feels the same way. That person becomes his life and soul. So spirituality is like that. Any way we analyze the real spiritual path, it's called a win-win situation. And that's what Krishna explained to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Atova prapshasi svargam, jitva va bokshase mahin. Right? Either you'll get killed in this battle and go to heaven, right? Or you'll be victorious and win the kingdom. It's a win-win situation for you. Therefore, get up and fight. Tasmat. Utishta kongtaya, juddaya, juddhanishtaya. Get up and fight with determination. You're in a win-win situation. Atova prapshasi svagam, jita va bokshase mahim. So spirituality is like that. It's a win-win situation. We can't lose. And Bhagavad Gita guarantees that. Neha bikramana shosti. You can't lose in spirituality. You can only win. You can only gain. You can't lose anything. And nobody else can say that. Everything else is a guaranteed lose situation. Whatever you get, you will lose. Everything. You can't take it with you when you go. Even this thing that we identify as ourself will be thrown away. This thing that we care about so much. And it's going to be thrown out. Like, unimaginable. When we're still in it. This thing that I care about, and I exercise, and I think about my health, and this, that. In a couple of years, they're going to throw it away. You know, because I'm into Eastern thought, they're going to throw it in the fire. Guaranteed. Without any trace of a doubt, you know, it's going to be thrown out. And if I didn't get into Eastern thought, they put in a box, right, according to my financial capacity, which is very meager. So maybe a very like a pine box or something, I don't know, like those things you see in the cowboy movies. Right? And then, you know, throw it in the ground. It's thrown out. You know, it's not, they have like a landfill. It is a cemetery. It's like a landfill for bodies. You throw it out. In some cultures, they throw it to the animals. So it's going to be thrown out. And everything I've accumulated and gained in my life, staying back. No matter who you are, no matter what you have. Right? Bill Gates or anybody. And it's all staying here. And Bill Gates ain't taking all his Microsoft stock to his next life. Ain't taking anything. Ain't even taking his Bill Gates. Ain't even taking his name. Ain't taking nothing. Not even one copy of DOS is going with him. So it's a lose-lose situation. And spirituality is a win-win situation. It's guaranteed. Krishna guarantees it, and the saints guarantee it. And the saints' word is more than Krishna's, because Krishna's a liar. I didn't say that. I would never call Krishna a liar. But our Param Guru Maharaj told us that. And I was shocked when I heard it. He said, Krishna is an autocrat, a despot, and a liar. Wow, I thought he was like, cool. But he is. Because all of those things are divine. They don't have any negative connotation. Krishna's lying is divine lying. The sweetest type of lying. That he only lies out of love to protect his devotees. Never lies for any other reason. Right? In the battle of Kurukshetra, he promised he wouldn't fight. But when his devotee's life was in danger, right, Arjuna told Krishna before that, right, in Bhagavad Gita, "Oh Krishna, so many times I offended you while we were laying on the same bed, while we were eating together, sometimes just the two of us, sometimes even in front of other people. I addressed you so casually. Hey Yadava, hey Madhava, hey Saketi. Yo, dude." Hey Saketi in modern language means, "Yo, dude." Really, that's what it means. It means, "Oh, my friend" in Sanskrit, right, in those days. But in our language today, we say, "Yo, dude." And, "Hey Madhava, hey Yadava," not, "Oh, Sri Krishna." Hey Saketi. And Arjuna said, "Please forgive all of these things. You know, as a friend, forgive the friend. As a lover, forgive the beloved. As a father, forgive their child. Please forgive me." So when that person who had so much love for Krishna, when his life was in danger, Krishna's promise meant nothing to him. His word meant nothing. But he broke that, right, for his devotee, to protect his devotee. And therefore in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Arjuna, "You say this, and say it loud, and say it clear and strong. Right? My devotee will never be vanquished." And I can't remember the word. Gurudev was just explaining this recently, and he used a better word. Perish. Right? My devotee will never perish. So that's the declaration. And not even by Krishna, but Krishna told Arjuna, "You say it, because you never lie. You never tell a lie. But I sometimes lie. People know that. So they may not believe me. But you say it. Kaunteya pratijanihi. Tell it loud and tell it clear. Name bhakta pranashyati. And my devotee will never perish." So it's a win-win situation. And if we have some connection with a devotee, that's as good as being a devotee. If we have a real connection with a devotee. And Mahaprabhu gave his mercy to so many people because they had a connection with one of his devotees. Now, one devotee, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, had so much love for Mahaprabhu. His wife had so much love for Mahaprabhu. But his son-in-law criticized Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu went to his house for lunch. Sarvabhauma made a beautiful arrangement. And Moga saw it and said, "Sannyasi is eating like that." So Moga was so heartbroken that Mahaprabhu was offended in his house. Right? Then he went to kill him, his son-in-law. But his son-in-law was young and fast. He got away. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife was hitting her head and saying, "Let my daughter be a widow." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was like really perplexed. "She's a Brahmin. I can't kill him, but I want him dead, but I can't kill him." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife, they were fasting. And Mahaprabhu heard about this. And he went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and said, "Why are you angry with this boy? He's your relative. He's a boy. Don't be angry with him." Then Mahaprabhu went to Amoga. And Amoga had come down with cholera. And he was actually dying. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "What I could not do myself is happening by providence." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya dancing. But Mahaprabhu put his hand on Amoga's chest and told him, "Amoga, you know, you have a pure heart of a Brahmin, a place to invite the Lord. Why have you made it dirty?" And he told him, "Chant the name of Krishna," with his hand on his chest. And Amoga chanted the name of Krishna and became ecstatic, filled with Krishna prema. Then Mahaprabhu went back to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and told him, "You know, now you can stop fasting and stop being angry, and Amoga is rectified." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very astonished at so much mercy he got from Mahaprabhu. And he was an offender. But he wasn't a devotee. He wasn't trying to serve. He wasn't trying to do anything. He was an offender. He offended Mahaprabhu. But because he had a relationship with a devotee, right, he was a relative of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Mahaprabhu said, "Even a dog in your house is incredibly dear to me. A dog in your house. What to speak of a Moga?" And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, as a devotee, in a devotee's house, an insect birth in the house of a devotee. I'll happily accept that. Kita janmaha jata tu adar. Let me have my birth as an insect, but in the house of your devotee. Vahimukha brahma janma nahi maharaj. But as a non-devotee, I don't even want to be Brahma. I would not even accept a birth as Brahma, like the number one person in the universe, as Brahma. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that birth as a non-devotee, I won't accept. But as in your devotee's house, even an insect birth, I'll happily take that. And so we may not be anything spiritually. We may not have any spiritual wealth or treasure. But if we have a connection with a real Vaishnava, then we will get everything through that connection. Take us out of the dealings of justice. People are so caught up whether or not there's justice. But we don't care for justice. We don't want justice. We don't want it for ourselves, and we don't want it for anybody else. Justice is a cold thing. We want mercy. Mercy is really the beautiful thing. You get everything through that. And Krishna is an ocean of mercy. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute. One of Krishna's pranam mantra. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu. Krishna's an ocean of mercy and compassion. And he wants to give that to everyone. He doesn't want to give out anything else. Krishna's not distributing anything else. Not distributing justice. Not distributing punishment. Not distributing anything. Only that. And especially when he comes as Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu's program is only that. Patra patra bichar nai. No examination. No consideration. Let everyone take it. Whoever you are, whatever you've done or you haven't done, it doesn't matter. Take this. Take Krishna praying and give it to others. That was Mahaprabhu's program. Everyone he saw. And Mahaprabhu told everyone to do the same thing. Amara gai guru hai tarai desh. Jari dako tahe kaha Krishna upadesh. Take this as my order. Go everywhere. And whoever you see, you tell them about Krishna. And whoever you see, whoever you jari dako, tahe kaha Krishna upadesh. Whoever you see, talk to them about Krishna. So in our youth, we were inspired with that. Jari dako, tahe kaha Krishna upadesh. Wherever you go, whoever you see, talk to them about Krishna. And I remember when I joined in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we had a van in our temple. It was the only vehicle, one van. But very nicely on both sides, the Maha Mantra was painted. And somebody did that as like an offering of service. They painted the Maha Mantra very nicely on both sides of the van. So naturally, wherever we went, people asked, well, what is that? What does that mean? In America, you don't get so much of that anymore. Recently, last time Srila Gurudev was in Mexico, just if you walk down the street dressed like this, people come up to you and they ask you questions. Right? Why are you dressed like that? What is it that you believe in? So we get that opportunity. Jari dako tahe kaha Krishna upadesh. But we're not imposing anything on anyone. Or we're not forcing our conception on anyone. We're not trying to trap people in the corner. Because Krishna consciousness is not fire and brimstone, but it's sweetness and beauty and ecstasy. And it's a very sweet message and a very beautiful message. And anyone who wants to hear it, we try to give them a chance to hear it, but not to impose anything on anybody. And in a few days, 17 days from now, right, the ultimate distributor of Krishna consciousness will be here. And then you can see for yourself what is a real saintly person. There are many saintly persons in our mission. Many of them in the room tonight. All around us there are saintly persons. But the topmost saintly person, the saintliest of the saintly persons, that he will be here in 17 days. And everyone, please come and afford yourself of that opportunity just to receive his glance alone. It will do so much for us. His merciful glance upon us. And just to feel that will give us so much encouragement and enlivenment and spirituality. And anybody who's experienced it before knows what I'm talking about. And for those of you who haven't, you can speak to most people in this room. They can explain it to you. And you should come yourself and experience it. Don't miss out. So I'd like to thank everyone for coming this evening, listening so patiently. Anybody have any questions at this time? Hare Mohan Prabhu.
When you were saying earlier that whatever is happening to us, we've earned it, you know. It's hard to accept, but I can't argue with that. And at the same time, we have this free will, don't we? The Lord afforded us some free will. And at every moment, can we not exercise that free will?
We are.
To do something well, or we can just, sometimes we can be passive and just let things happen and just try to tolerate our karma. And at the same time, can't we, I find in my own life, a lot of times I find myself just reacting to things and not actually asserting my will, you know, perhaps because I don't know how to properly do that.
But what's the question?
The question is, don't we have this free will? I suppose what's the best way to use our free will?
So the best way to use our free will is to serve Krishna, serve the Vaishnavas. Krishna says, service to me means service to my devotees. So that's the best way to use our free will, voluntarily and affectionately serve the Vaishnavas. So, but we have to accept, it is free will, right? So, but when we misuse it, then we have to be prepared to deal with the reaction. But we're not prepared to deal with the reaction. That's the difficulty. But it is free will, and it's a very beautiful thing. Freedom is a very beautiful thing. Right? When Gandhi was challenged by the British, if we give you back India, and I'm sure they said this to the black people in South Africa and in Zimbabwe and those other places, right? And they told it to Gandhi also, that if we give you back India, you're just going to ruin it. And Gandhi said, yes, that's what freedom means. We'll be free to ruin it if we want. So we have that freedom. We have freedom to do right, freedom to do wrong. We have free will. It's a very beautiful thing. It makes love possible. Right? Without freedom, there's no love. But we misuse it. Right? We do wrong things. Then we have to have some reaction. When the reaction comes, we don't like it. And then we start blaming things. So it's a natural tendency in all of us, right? We wouldn't have like a couple of days experience in the material world. Right? But we have unlimited experience in the material world. Right? So these things are deep rooted, and we can't expect that in a few moments that all of our previous negative tendencies will be gone. It can happen. Like I asked Srila Gurudev once, does everybody who gets the name of Krishna, initiated in the name of Krishna, start from Nam Aparad? He said, no, not everybody. Almost everyone. Right? So does everybody take a long time to cross over so many things? Not everybody. Almost everybody. Right? So if somebody says they're the exception to that, they're not the almost everybody, they're the exception to the rule, and they immediately became purified, they'll bow to that. Possible. No problem. When one person told Param Guru Maharaj, some man was showing everyone Krishna. This was recently, right, when Param Guru Maharaj's time. On the other side of the Ganga, some man was showing people Krishna at night. And Param Guru Maharaj didn't say it wasn't possible, didn't say it wasn't Krishna. He just said, that Krishna I have no interest in. So if somebody instantaneously crossed over all of these things, right, that are so deep-rooted in our heart, we'll bow to that. But we know for almost everybody, it takes some time. to go from a materialist to a spiritualist. Like, you know, you went to sleep at night a materialist and you woke up in the morning a spiritualist. Not so easy. But we're trying. And so much help is coming to us. No negative thing is coming to block us. Right? But so much help is coming to us. Always. The name of Krishna, which we don't deal with properly, or sometimes not at all, the very name of Krishna wants to help us. Krishna's name came to us to help us. The name of Krishna, which is non-different than Krishna, that name wants to help us. Like everything from the transcendental side wants to help us without judgment. Now, we're not going to help you. You know, you did this and that and this and that and this and that. It's never like that. And from the divine side, it's never like that. And we see that with Srila Gurudev. It's never like that. Even, you know, I've done things wrong that Srila Gurudev has chastised me for directly, but never twice. Never did he mention that same thing again, ever. Ever. Well, remember that time when you were with me and you did that? And of course, it would be futile because I do so many things wrong, but never. So the divine side, you know, we can't conceive of merciful, that kind of merciful. We can't conceive of it. That there's no negative judgment of us, but instead, right, everything from the divine side is coming to help us, coming to take us further, take us deeper. Happily, and with a beautiful mood. So even when we misuse, right, our independence and some reaction comes to us, it's a token, it's a reminder. Don't do that. It's not good for you. It happens again, But always some friendly reminder, don't do that. It's not good for you. Right, some affectionate thing, like maybe when we were children, right, some of us had parents that would beat the crap out of us. Some of our friends had parents that were like that. Oh, don't do that. It's not good for you. And so the divine side is like that. Oh, don't do that. It's not good for you. But that's the mood of Gurudev. And he even hates to say, don't do that. But that's his mood. He even hates to say it. Especially for Westerners. He hates to even think like that. His thought is that, you know, we're born in such a place, right? Uncultured place, with no culture, right? We don't know anything about anything. Oh, he feels so sad for us. Right? And he only wants us to get benefit. And in his eyes, practically, we can't do anything wrong. And he's our loving guardian. In the eyes of the loving guardian, you can't do wrong. Right? So, but a little token is always coming, a slight reminder for us. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Right? Go forward. Be happy. Right? That's Gurudev's request to us. Always be happy in Krishna consciousness and go forward. That's what he likes to see. And once, you know, I made some confession to Srila Gurudev, oh, you know, Gurudev, I'm sorry, I'm going to try to. He said, just go on serving as you have been. I don't get a mental thing. It's just a mental concoction, what you're telling me. He didn't spell it out in so many words. But it's a whole mental thing. Forget about all that. Just be happy and do some service. That's what he wants from us. You know, be happy. Do some service. No judgment. You're not coming to judge anybody. You're not going to get here in 17 days and call us in one by one. And what have you done since the last time I was here? Don't have to print out our schedule, you know. This is what I did, Gurudev. And then there's like the plus column, the negative column. I mean, how much would we have? We're not going to get any true confessions right now or anything. But, you know, the plus column would be very small and the negative column would be very big. But Gurudev can't see it like that. The Vaishnav eyes, they can't see that. They just can't. It's like impossible for them. They don't have that type of eye. You know, some people can't see different colors. The Vaishnavs can't see that particular type of thing. And sometimes I invite Gurudev to see that. You know, sometimes we go before Gurudev and very foolishly we try to describe the bad qualities of other people. And every time I've done that, and I don't do it anymore, but every time I've done that in the past, you know, Srila Gurudev always turns down my invitation. Well, Gurudev, try to see things from my level. No, thank you. I can't. But he can't. Even if he wanted to, like in a friendly way, he can't. He can't see things from my level. But his vision doesn't allow it. He can only see the good. He only can see the beautiful part. And when he sees us, inconceivably, that's what he sees. And so for any little token thing that comes to us, if we can remember that, if we remember the real nature of divinity and the transcendental side, then what's the problem with some little token thing that may come to us? Jaz, Parikosh, Shri, Rana, Vrindavati, Padma, Jastu. Any other questions? Adikesha Peru? I think so. That's what we're doing. Otherwise, why are we practicing Krishna consciousness if we don't want to develop those qualities ourselves? But we don't have to make like an extraneous endeavor to get those qualities. Right? We just have to serve the Vaishnav. And if we serve the Vaishnav, I wish sing every day, Krishna se toma, Krishna dite paro. Right? The Vaishnav can give us everything. If we please the Vaishnav, right, he'll give us that. He'll give us those types of qualities. I follow Srila Gurudev because I want to be like him. That's why I follow him. You know what I mean? I want to be the acharya. I mean, I said this in Russia and all people became disturbed and arguments. And then, really, it became a big disturbance. I said I want to serve Srila Gurudev because I want to be like him. You know, people misunderstood. I wanted to be the acharya of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mahaprabhu. But I don't want to be the acharya of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mahaprabhu under any circumstances. But I want to be like him. I want to have a heart like his. I want to have vision like his. I want to see good everywhere. We're trying to be happy. Right? Every one of us is trying to be happy. We've tried to be happy. Our whole life, we tried so many things to be happy. How happy will we be if everywhere we look, we find good? How happy of a life is that? That's why Srila Gurudev is always happy. Right? Under circumstances that we find intolerable, he's happy. Because right? Everywhere he looks, he finds good. Right? Some people, they do so much service, and they do one thing wrong. We want to reject them. Right? When they do that wrong thing, Srila Gurudev doesn't see that wrong thing. Just sees the service that they've done. And even if it's a little bit of service. So what kind of vision is that? How happy would we really be if we had that vision? Paramahamsa Dharma Gyan Shikar Pachari. That's what we're doing. That's why we're here. We want those qualities. We want to be trained like that. Paramahamsa. Param Gurudev said that our Gurudev is a natural Paramahamsa. Maybe we're not natural Paramahamsas. But by service, we can get his qualities. And he wants to give them to us. He's not a selfish person. But our Gurudev is not a selfish person. He's the most generous person. He doesn't want to give it. He wants to give it. But then we have to utilize it. We have to assimilate it. We have to allow it to work on us. We can't go on in our negative way. We can't get some spiritual opulence just to cut everybody else down. We can't get some spiritual treasure just to put ourselves in a material way above others. And that's what our condition, at least my condition, is that. So I can't get so much spiritual opulence right now because I'll misuse it. And for my mundane purpose, how disgusting is that? But this is a happy thing. Krishna consciousness is a happy thing, so we don't want to talk about how disgusting that is. But, you know, what can you do? We have to be where we are, and we have to make progress from there. And so when I get purified, and I will get purified, Gurudev has told me I will be purified, and if I keep on doing Vaishnava Seva, I'll be purified. And when I'm purified enough to the point where I won't utilize things for my own purpose, I'll get them. It's that simple. And if we read, right, we read in Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Mitra, after Mahaprabhu was born, so many thousands of people came, demigods disguised as Brahmins. Everyone came, gave him so many things, and said he never used anything for his own purpose. Right? And every Vaishnava is like that, right? When the Lord gives them everything, it always mentions, oh, by the way, they never used anything for their own purpose. Right? Sudama Bipra, right? We know Sudama Bipra, he pleased Krishna so much by making a little meager offering to him. He had nothing, but whatever little thing he had, he wanted to give it to Krishna, right? With feeling. And when he came back home, everything had changed. Everything was transformed. Like, you know, he had a little cabin on Bellevue Street. And he went home and he found out he had a big mansion on West Cliff Drive or something. And his 85 Mercedes became a 2008 Mercedes and all those things. But he didn't use any of it, it says, particularly mentioned, for his own purpose. Right? So we'll get all of those things when we won't use them for our own purpose. That's all. Krishna's waiting to give. The Vaishnava's waiting to give. Right? The other side is so extremely generous. Waiting, but not that we'll use it in a bad way. Right? They're also, Krishna's intelligent. Once when I was very angry about some particular thing, you know, Srila Gurudev looked at me and said, Guru, you have to see that behind everything is Krishna. And I think, oh yeah, I forgot about that. You know? Damn, I knew I was forgetting something. Then he looked at me and said, and Krishna's not foolish. Oh yeah, right. Krishna's definitely not foolish. Right? So Krishna's very intelligent, and he's very kind. He's infinitely intelligent, and he's infinitely kind, and infinitely generous. Not that he doesn't want to give, or he doesn't have enough to give. Right? He's infinite. He has infinite to give. And he'll give it when we won't use it for our own purpose. When we're ready to use it for him, which will boomerang right back to us. Prahlad Maharaj explained that. Tachchat mane pratimukasya yatamukashri. Whenever you decorate your face in the mirror, the reflection is also decorated. Right? So whatever we offer to Krishna, it comes back to us. Right? With a reflection. So when we're ready to utilize it like that, Krishna will give it to us. All of those qualities. But not to make business for ourselves. We're very thankful for that. We don't want to get those things to make business for ourselves. Why would we want to waste that? You know, get the spiritual opulence from Krishna and use it for ourselves. What a waste. What a terrible thing that would be. We don't want that. We're very fortunate that Krishna's like that. And that's part of Krishna's kindness. Krishna has no stinginess or anything. Krishna has no, like, reservation. He's infinitely reserved. No, he's not like that. He doesn't have any negative thing. So it is possible. Our Gurudev has told us that. Shastras tell us that. Yashasti bhaktiya bhagavatiya kinchana savayagranaistatra samasate sara. If you have some devotion, all of the good qualities will come to you through devotion. So it's very late now. Thank everyone.